Today's shiur is a Masechta Moed Katan on Daf Chav Vav. We will begin on Daf Chav Hey Amid Beis, 8 lines from the bottom of the Amid, with the last word on the line, Ki. Rav Hai Goin tells us that we are going to learn in the next Gemara various miraculous stories that took place following the Ptira of great Gedolim and Tzadikim, and the purpose of these miraculous events were to demonstrate by HaKadosh Baruch Hu the greatness of the Gedolim who had passed away at that time. However, the Meiri learns that these were not events that took place following the Ptira, but rather they were pieces of the Hespedim, the eulogies that were given at the Levaya of these various Gedolim. But these events, according to the Meiri, did not actually take place. They were merely descriptions of the greatness of that Adam Gadol, who the Maspidim were being Maspid. Begins the Gemara. Ki nach nafshe de Rav Avuah, when Rav Avuah was nifter, when he passed away, achisu amudi de kisri maya, the pillars of Caesarea, as Rashi says, hayridu de mois, they cried. There was moisture which seeped out from these pillars, and they were, so to speak, crying over the loss of Rav Avuah. The Rabbi Yossi, when Rabbi Yossi was nifter, shafu marzave de tzipori doma, the gutters of the city of Tziporoi, there was blood running from them. The Pnei Moshe on the Yerushalmi says that it was not actually blood, but it was water which had a coloration of blood. The top Tosfos here on our Amid brings down a Yerushalmi, that Rabbi Yossi was Yoav Nafshi al Gzdei Roisim. He gave his life literally. He was Meister Nefesh. He was killed al Kiddush Hashem. Pirish Nishbach Dome al Yichud Hashem. And then he brings the Tosefta Shenasan Nafshi al Amila. The Romans amongst whom he lived at that time made Gzeira on Mila, and he was Meister Nefesh that Mila should be continued. He was killed because of that. So this would indicate, like Rav Hai Goin that we mentioned at the beginning of this year, that the event that followed the Ptira of Rav Yossi indicated the greatness of Rav Yossi's life, that he had been Moser Nefesh, he had given literally his blood for the mitzvah of, which is associated with Dam, and that is the mitzvah of Mila. Continues the Gemara, the Rav Yaakov, following Rav Yaakov's Ptira, is Chamiu. One could see in the middle of the day, one could see stars, which means, the Mefarshim explain, similar to what we learned in yesterday's shir, that when Rabbi Yochanan was nifter, they said about Rabbi Yochanan that the Shemesh was Boa Shemesh B'Tzorayim, that the sun set in the middle of the day, and there was now darkness, indicating that the great Gadol, Rabbi Yaakov, the sun, was no longer here, and instead Klal Yisrael would be led by lesser Gedolim, which are represented by the stars that could now be seen in Shemayim. Again, according to the Meiri, these were not events that happened, but rather these were the words of the Maspidim when they were being Maspid, these various Gedolim. The Rav Asi, when Rav Asi was Nifter, Yaku Kol Ilana, all the trees in his locale were uprooted. The Rav Chiyu, when Rav Chiyu was Nifter, Nechisa Kifri de Nura Merakiyah, there came down fiery stones from heaven. The Rav Menachem Bar Yossi, or as the Masoros HaShas brings down, it should really be Rav Menachem Bar Rabbi Simoi, when he was Nifter, Ishtau Tzamanayu, all the forms on coins, the tzura of the Madbeon coins, or actually the idols, the images, they became flattened, v'havu l'tzayah, they became slabs. As Rashi brings down that, we find Rav Nachem b'Rav Simoi, the Gemara tells us in Pesachim Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Aleph, he was referred to as being Benun Shel Kedoshim. He was the son of the Holy Ones. He did not even look, Shalai Nistakal, Af Betzur Shel Zuzah, the form that was etched onto a coin, he would not look at that. And therefore, it was appropriate, because of this greatness that he exhibited during his lifetime, that after his Ptira, keeping with what Rav Hai Goin explains in our Gemara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a miracle that the images on coins and the idols became flat slabs of metal to indicate the greatness of Rav Menachem b'Rav Simoi. Continues the Gemara, d'Rav Tanchum bar Chiya, when he was Nifter, iskatzitzu kol andrachia. Rashi says andrachia are the images, the monuments that are made in the honor of a king who passed away. All of them were cut down. D'Rav Yashiv, when he was Nifter, ichseru shivin machtarta b'nardo. While he was alive, in his chus, there were no burglaries in Nardo. When he was Nifter, 70 burglaries were committed in the city of Nardo, because they did not have the schus anymore of this great Godol. The Rav Hamnuna, when he was Nifter, Nechisu kipi de bardo merikia, there came down hailstones from the heaven. The Rabbi of Rabbi Yosef, when this era of Rabbi of Yosef ended, as the Gemara tells us in Horus and Daf Yudalit, that Rabbi was the Rashiv of Pumpadisa. And 2.5 years later, after Rabbi was Nifter, Rabbi Yosef became the Rashiva. And when he was Nifter 2.5 years later, at the end of that era, Nisho Kipi Defras Adadi, the arches over, of the bridges that crossed the Pras, which is the Euphrates, they fell down and they like kissed each other. In other words, the these two great Gedolim, Rabbi Rav Yosef, who were the arches for Klal Yisrael, they were Nifter, and that was represented by the fallen arches of the bridges that crossed Pras. The Abayev Arava, following the Ptira of Rabbi Yosef, Abayev became the Rashiva Pumpadisa. Following the Ptira of Abaye, Rav, the yeshiva transferred to the city of Rav, which is in Mechuza, which was on the bank of the Diglas, the Tigris River, the Chidekel. So, Neshoi Kipi the Diglas Adadi, when the era of Abaye Rav ended with the Ptira of Rav, then the arches which crossed, which were part of the bridges crossing the Tigris River, they collapsed, they kissed each other. In other words, the Yesod of Klal Yisrael, represented by in the personage of Abaye Rav, had collapsed. Ki nach nafshi Rav Misharshi, when he was Nifter, ton dikli shitzi. So the palm trees bore thorns. They had been healthy palm trees in the lifetime and in the schus of Rav Misharshi. Now that he was Nifter, they produced thorns. Tana Rabbanan, as we begin the Gemara on Daf Chavav Amid Aleph, Ve'elu Kron Sheimis Achen, and for the following reasons people have to tear Kriya, and the Kriya is one that is not mended, as we will see later in the Gemara. Misachen means that a perfect, it is not repaired perfectly, that is Usser, but we will see that various uneven stitches are permitted. On whom or for what reasons does one make a kriya which is not misachin? Hakareal aviv alimoi, on the loss of a father or mother. So even after Yud Beis Chodesh, forever, these things are not allowed to be repaired perfectly. The al rabbi shalom de Torah, and over a rav who taught him Torah, one tears kriya. Tosfos on Daf Chaf Hey Amid Beis, he has a different girsa, not Rabbi Shalom de Torah, but Val Rabbi Shalom de Chochma, and he brings down a machloikis in Mesech Debav Metziah Daf Lama Gimel between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that one is chayv to tear kriya if this Rebbe taught him Roiv Chachmasai, and Rabbi Yosi says Afilu Loiheir Ein of Elba Mishnah Achas, even if he only taught him one Mishnah, this is considered his Rebbe. And over his death, he is mechuyev to ter kriya. And the Gemara of Dan Bar Metzia brings what Ulla said, that the Talmidei Chacham and Bavel used to do kriya one over the other, even though they did not learn Rav Chachmasai, and that is going according to Rabbi Yosi. And Tosfos suggests that perhaps they were, at the end of Tosfos, Shema Hayu Machmir Malatzman, that was really only a chumra. And Halacha Lemaisa, we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, that one is not mechuyev to tear kriya on a stam rebbe, a person who only learned him a few things, one mishnah, but rather if it is a rebbe muvug where he has in fact learned Roiv Chachmasi, then a person is Mechuyev to Ter Kriya on this Rebbe. Va'al Nasi, and on the prince, or the Melech of Klal Yisrael, Va'al Av Bezda, the head of the Sanhedrin HaGadol, Va'al Shmui Sarois, and on bad things that a person hears, and the Gemara will elaborate what those bad things are. Val Birchas Hashem, if he hears Hashem's name blasphemized. In other words, the word bracha here is a euphemism for the reverse of Birchas Hashem. Val Sefer Torah Shenisrif, if he is there at the time and he sees a Sefer Torah that is burnt. Val Ore Yehuda, and he comes to the Ore Yehuda. There's a question in the poskim, but it would seem it's only Ore Yehuda and not Ore Yisrael, specifically of the cities of high stature of Shevet Yehuda. Val Amigdash, if he sees the destruction of the Beis Amigdash. Val Yerushalayim, he sees the Churban of Yerushalayim. On all of these events, he tears Kriya. The Karei Al HaMikdash, the Gemara will explain that there is a situation where a person does Kriya on the Beis HaMikdash, U'maisiv Al Yerushalayim, he doesn't have to make a separate Kriya for Yerushalayim in certain circumstances, but rather he enlarges the Kriya that he made already over the Beis HaMikdash, and he's Maisiv for Yerushalayim. And now the Gemara is going to show us from Psukim that there is a Chiyuv Kriya in all of these situations, and that the Kriya cannot be mended properly 100%. Other v'ima v'rabo ishalim de Torah. How do I know that there's a chiyuv kriya on the loss of a father or mother or a rebbe who taught him Torah? Minal and dechsev. It says by Elisha, and let us read the pasuk from Malachim Beis. Perik Beis, pasuk Yud Beis in its entirety. The pasuk says, "Ve'Elisha roya." He saw that his Rebbe Eliyahu was going into the Shemayim, v'hu mitzayik, and he was crying out. And what did he say at that time? He said, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael Parashav, Father, Father, referring to Eliyahu and Avi, the chariot of Yisrael and its horsemen. V'loi ro'oid, he never saw Eliyahu again. Eliyahu went alive into the Shemayim. V'yachazek b'vgadav, Elisha grabbed a hold of his begadim, and we're going to see that the word vayachazek means he grabbed a hold one tefach worth of his beget, vayikra'em lishnayim kroyim, and he tore it asunder into two tears. Let us go back to the Gemara. Dechsiv, how do we know that there's a chiv kriya on av, ve'em, and raboi? Because it says, Elisha rov, umetzak, avi, avi, rechav yisrael frashim. So the Gemara interprets, Avi, Avi, Ze, Avi, Imai. This refers to his father and his mother. That's why he said it twice. He considered Eliyahu both his father and his mother. And Rech of Yisrael Parashav, Ze, Rabbi, Shalom, the Torah. That refers to Eliyahu as being his Rebbe who taught him Torah. My Mashma, how do we see from this pasuk that it's referring about his Rebbe? It doesn't say anything about Eliyahu being his Rebbe. Kedematargam Rabbi Yosef, as Rabbi Yosef understood that Avi Avi in fact means Rebbe Rebbe. You, my Rebbe. The word Av, according to Rabbi Yosef's explanation, is Rebbe Rebbe. The Tavlo in Yisrael, you are better for the Jewish people, but Zeluse, in your tefillah, Mirasichin, from chariots of Parashim and horsemen. So we see that the pasuk refers to Eliyahu as being the Rebbe of Elisha. So it's interesting, it comes out that although the word Rebbe is not mentioned beferish in the pasuk, the word aim, mother, is not mentioned beferish in the pasuk, yet the Gemara understands that this pasuk does refer to Eliyahu in three roles: the role of a father, the role of a mother, and the role of a Rebbe. The role of a father, that's clear, it says it in the pasuk, Avi. What about mother? So I have heard a pshat from the Mechaber of Sefer Birchas Yitzchak that, and he said it at the Levaya of Moron Rav Agoin Rav Aaron Kotler Zechet Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, that we find that if there's an Aved, the Gemara Bava Metzia, Avedus Rabbi, Avedus Aviv, which one do you have to give back first, the Aved of your Rebbe or your father? You give back your Rebbe first. Why? because your father brings you into Olam Hazeh, and your Rebbe brings you into Olam Haba. Bringing you into Olam Haba is greater than bringing you into Olam Hazeh. So we see that someone who brings you into Olam Hazeh is referred to as an Av. So a mother whose primary mission in life is to take care of the gashmius, the physical needs of her child in this world, a mother could be referred to as a father, because a father is known as one who brings you into Olam Hazeh, and that would certainly apply to a mother. Where do we find that a Rebbe is known as a father? So I believe that this we can understand from the pasuk which says, Ulamadetem es b'neichem, and the Chazal learned that who are bonim, that's talmideichem, melamed shatalmidim nikru bonim. So I once heard a question from Rav Hutner Zitzal and Rav Yaakov Weinberg, his Talmud Zitzal, the Rosh Yeshiva Sner Yisrael, if the Torah in fact is speaking about L'madatem es b'neichem, not your children, but it refers to your Talmidim, why didn't the Torah beferish say L'madatem es talmideichem? Why call them banim? So Rav Hutner Zitzal answered, because the Torah wants to teach you that a Talmud has to know what he is receiving from his Rebbe. If a Talmud thinks that all he's receiving from his Rebbe is Gemara, Rashi, Tosfos, Akzois, Nesivos, Rav Akiva Eiger, etc., he fails to grasp what he is receiving from his Rebbe. A Talmud receives from a Rebbe nothing less than what a Ben receives from an Av. What does a Ben receive from an Av? Life itself. When a Talmud learns from a Rebbe, he is not merely receiving Chochmas HaTorah, but he is receiving Chayim, he's receiving life itself. And that's why the Torah depicted the relationship between Talmud L'Rav as being one of Ben L'Av. Rabbi Yaakov Weinberg, the Talmud of Rav Hutner, gave a different explanation. When will a Rebbe be successful in imparting Torah Hashem to his Talmidim? Only if he treats his Talmidim like a Ben. If he's muster, if he's given over with the same ava that a father gives to a child, then and only then will the Rebbe be successful in imparting Torah Chaim to his Talmidim. And that's why the Torah described the relationship between Talmud L'Rav as being one of Ben L'Av. Whatever pshat we learn, and really both are true, one is looking at it from the Rebbe's vantage point, and one is looking at it from the Talmud's vantage point, but there definitely is a Ben L'Av relationship. So when Elisha spoke about Elio, as Elio departed from his Talmud Elisha, and Elisha describes him as being Avi Avi, so certainly the Gemara understands, this is what Rabbi Yosef was Metargum, he explained, that Avi Avi means Rebbe Rebbe, because a Rebbe to a Talmud, the relationship is one of Av L'Ben. So based on this, it comes out that the Pasuk, Avi Avi, Rechiv Yisrael Farashav, is speaking about a father, it's speaking about a mother who could also be referred to as a father, and it's speaking about a Rebbe who could also be referred to as a father. And in Nela we see that he tore Kriya Elisha, so we learned that there's a Chi of Kriya on a mother, and a father, and a Rebbe. Continues the Gemara of Eloi Misach and Menol. How do we know that by a father, a mother, and a Rebbe, that they cannot be fixed permanently, stitched up in a perfect manner, the Siv? Because it says, by Elisha, in that pasuk that we quoted from Malachim Beis, Vayachazek Bevgadav, he grabbed a hold of his Begadav, Vayikram, and he tore them, Lishnaim to two Kroyim, Lishnaim Kroyim. So the question the Gemara asks is, Mimashu Shnei Vayikrei, since the pasuk says that he rent them asunder, he tore them apart. Eini Yedei Shel Shnayim, don't I know that it's into two parts? Why does the Torah the Navi have to tell us distinctly that it was into two parts? Elam Alamed Shekruyim Voindim L'Shnayim Lo'olam. The pasuk is trying to tell us not only did he tear it then, but it must remain permanently cut asunder, even if you're allowed to stitch it in an uneven stitch, but you cannot stitch it as misachin, you cannot mend it that it's 100% fixed. There must be a zecher forever on the loss of your father, mother, or the Rebbe who taught you Torah. Amalei Rishlagish Rabbi Yochanan said Rishlagish Rabbi Yochanan. Eliyo Chayhu, why did Elisha tear Kriya? We know that Eliyo went alive into Shemaim. If he's alive, why did Elisha tear Kriya? Amar Le Rabbi Yochanan answered, keeping the sieve, since it says in that pasuk of Malachim, V'loi Ro'oi, that Elisha didn't see Eliyo anymore. Ligabi Didei Kimeistami. It's considered to Elisha as if Eliyo had in fact died, and that's why there was a Chiv Kriya, although Eliyo went alive into the Shemaim. How do we know Nasi Vabez Nushmusa Rosminol? And how do we know there's a Chiv Kriya on a Melech, a prince of Yisrael that dies, or the head of the Bezdin, or on hearing bad news? This it. Because following the death of Shaul and Yonasan, so the Pasuk says, Vayichazek David. Vayachazek David b'vgadav. David grabbed a hold of his cloth of Vayikraim and he tore them. Vigam kol anashim asherito, all the people that were with him also tore their clothing. Vayispidu, and they eulogized. Vayivku, they cried. Vayitzayim, and they fasted out of Erev until night. On what? Al Shaul, concerning the death of Shaul. Val Yonis and Benoi, and on the death of Yonis and his son. Val Am Hashem, and concerning the nation of Hashem, that many had gotten killed in that Milchama. Val Beis Yisrael Kenafla Becharav, and on the house of Yisrael that fell by the sword. So we learn out Shaul Zenasi. So we see that there was a Chi of Kriya that David did over the death of the king Melech Shaul. Yonis and Zeav Bezdin. Yonis was the Av Bezdin. Alam Hashem Val Beis Yisrael Elu Shmoy Saroz. These were the bad news that they received, that many had gotten killed from Klal Yisrael. Amalei Rav Bar Shavala Rav Kahana Ve'ema David Kulu. Maybe there's only a Chiv Kriya when all of these things happened together. The Shaul was Nifter, the Abezda was Nifter, and there was many casualties amongst the Bnei Yisrael. Amalei, he responded, no, since the Torah says Al Shaul, Va'al Yoinasin Benoi, Va'al Am Hashem, Al Hifsega Inyan. So Al shows that for each one of these specifically, it's divided up, and each one warrants that Kriya should be made. Ask the Gemara, Mikarina Shmus Rois, do we then have an obligation to make Kriya when we hear bad news? Va'arvalelu Shmuel, they told Shmuel that something tragic had happened. Kotl Shor Malka, the king of Persia, the king called Shavor, he killed Tracer Alpha Yudoi, 12,000 Jews, Mesigas Kisri, in this place called Mesigas Kisri, the Loikara. And when Shmuel heard this terrible news, he did not tear Kriya. So Lachar, when you hear bad news, there is no king of Kriya. The Gemara answers, Lo Yamru, when did they say that it is considered a bad news when many Jews get killed? Ella Beroif Tzibur. That is only, as Rashi says, Roiv Yisrael. Ukemaisa Shohoyo. And as Rashi says, Bishol V'yoynosin. Just as in the story of Shol V'yoynosin. Roiv of Klal Yisrael came to battle and many of them were killed. So in the case of Shvor Malka, 12,000 Jews got killed, but it was not a fight against most of the Jewish nation. But when most of the Jewish nation is in a war and many get killed, or the Ritva tells us that even if a Shevet, most of a Shevet is also considered a Tzibur, and here in the case of Shaul V'yoynosin, a majority of one Shevet got killed, and that's considered also a tragedy. So Kemaisa Shohoya, when you have either Roiv of Klal Yisrael engaged in a war and many die, or you have Roiv of a Tzibur, a majority of a Shevet, according to the Pshat of the Ritva, that perish in battle, then it constitutes Shmuas Ros over which one makes Kriya. This was not the case concerning the 12,000 Jews who were killed by Shvor Malka. Ask the Gemara, Umi Kotel Shvor Malka Yudoi, did then Shvor Malka kill any Jews? Va'amalei Shvor Malka Lishmuel. Shvor Malka, who was a good friend of Shmuel, said one day to Shmuel, Tesali, give me reward, the Loikatli Yudim Oilam. I never killed a Jew in my life. This is a contradiction. Here it says he killed 12,000 Jews, and here he told Shmuel, I never killed a Jew in my life. The Gemara answers that the 12,000 Jews that he killed, he did not consider that it was his fault that he killed them. Hasim inu garmel nafshayu. They brought this upon themselves. Da'amar Ravami, Ravami said, l'kol, to the noise of Yisiri, of the harp strings, the Mezigas Kisri of the city of Mezigas Kisri, Paka Shura de Lutkoya, many hundreds of miles away in the city of Lutkoya, a wall cracked. In other words, the rebellion that the Jews waged at the time of Shvar Malka had ripple effects even to Lutkoya, in as they caused other Jews hundreds of miles away to also rebel against the king. So therefore, Shvar Malka considered that the Jews brought this upon himself, but he never killed a Jew, Bechinam, for no reason. He, over there, they rebelled against him, and therefore he had to put down the rebellion. Continues the Gemara, Al Birkas Hashem, if someone hears the name of Hashem, blasphemize that there's a Chiv Kriya Minol, how do I know? Dichsiv, because the Pasuk says, in Melachim Beis, Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Vayavi El Yakim Ben Chilkiya, Asher Al Abayis, El Yakim El Chilkiya, who was over the house, Vishavna Seifer, Vayoyach Ben Asma Maskir, the secretary, the scribe, El Chizkiya came to Chizkiya, Kriya Begadim, their clothing had Kriya on it. And why? Because they told over, as the Pasuk there says, Vayagidu Loi Divrei Rav Shoke. Rav Shoke. Rav Shoke was an officer of Sancheirev. And they told over to Chizkiya that he had compared Hashem to an Avodah Zarah. And that comparison warranted Kriya. And that's why they tore their begadim. Tosfos, on the top, Tosfos has a suffix. He brings down in the Yerushalmi whether Rav Shoke was a Yisrael Mummer or he was a Goy. If he was a Yisrael Mummer, then it would indicate that the Chiyuv to tear Kriya on Birchas Hashem is only if one hears it from a Yid, but not from a Goy. However, if we say Rav Shoke was a Goy, and yet they tore Kriya, that would indicate that there's a Chiyuv Kriya, even if one hears a Birchas Hashem from a Goy. Tana Rabbanon, Echad Hashemeya, doesn't matter whether a person hears it directly, the Birchas Hashem, or Ve'echad Hashemeya Mipi Hashemeya, if somebody hears it from the person who heard it, as Tosfos explains in the second Tosfos on the Amud, Pirsh B'Tosfos, Kigoy Minoy Eidim, Sha'imim Zeh. A person is in the Beis Din, in court, and he hears the Eidim relaying over how they heard this person be Mevarech Hashem, and they say it over. So even a Shemeya, Min HaShemeya, has a Chiv of Kriya. Tosfos goes on to say, V'imu Oimer Yake Yoisi Es Yoisi, if he doesn't say the Shem Hashem, but he makes up a name of Yoisi to equal the four letters of Hashem's name, that Yoisi should hit Yoisi, so he's using a euphemism for the Shem Hashem, then Ein Karin Al Zeh. On that, Tosfos says there is no Chiv Kriya, unless a person hears the Shem Hashem, shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself being blasphemized. So whether it's Shemeya or Shemeya, Mipi HaShemeya, the Gemara continues, Chayav L'Kroya, there is a Chiyuv Kriya. V'o'edim, the Edim themselves, ain't a Chayav L'Kroya, they're not Mechuyuv to do Kriya. Again, Shekvar Kar B'Shah Sheshavah, when they heard it from the perpetrator, from the one who was Mevarech Hashem, they already had a Chiyuv, as that delegation that had gone to Rav Shoke, and they had heard Rav Shoke do Birchas Hashem, so they all came back to Chizkiya, Kriya Begadim. So the Eidim who heard it originally, they don't have to do it again when they relate it in Beis Din. Frey the Gemara, Shekvar, they were Kvar Karu B'Shah Sheshamai. B'Shah Sheshamai Mayhavi. What's the difference if they did it when they heard it? Hokashami Hashta. When they are repeating it in Beis Din, they're hearing their own lips say over the Birchas Hashem again. They L'char Deshavachi of Kriya again. Moore says, don't entertain that thought. Because it says, when that delegation came back from Rav Shoke, when the Melech Hizkiyo heard what they were saying, he did Kriya. The Gemara deduces, only the king did Kriya, but this delegation did not tear Kriya again, because they had done it when they had heard Rav Shoke. And how do we know that for Shmuis Royce, or on the death of a king, a Nasi, or an Avbezdin, that we do not sew up the garment perfectly like it was? Asya Kriya Kriya, because we have Gzeira Shava. We have by Chizkiyo, by Birchas Hashem, we have by Yikra as Begadav. We have before by Elisha. Rashi over here says we learn it from David, but on the Masoret Hashas tells us May Elisha. By Elisha it says by Yachazek Begadav, by Yikra Ein. So we have Gzeira Shava Kriya Kriya. So just like the Kriya by over a Rebbe or a father or mother, it's Lishnayim, it's Ein Nisachal Oilam. The same halacha applies to a hearing Birchas Hashem, that when you do Kriya, you do not sew it up perfectly forever. Sefer Torah Shnisrinol. How do we know there's a Chiv Kriya on a Sefer Torah that's burned? Because when they read over for the Melech Yoyakim what it said in Megillas Eicha, that Yirmiyahu Navi had written, it says that he burnt the shame of Hashem that was written, the Haskaras of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that were written in Megillas Eicha. As the Pasuk says, and this is from Yirmiyahu, Perek Lamed Vav, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayhi Kikra Yehudi. There was a person Yehudi who the king Yehoyakim told to read from the Megillas Eicha when he was reading Shalosh Delosses. Delosses, as Rashi tells us, means psukim. He was reading three psukim varbo and four psukim. Vayikra betar hasayfer vahashchal aish asher alach. So alach, it says that the king had the name of Hashem ripped out of the Megillah and thrown into the fire. What's the story? What happened? My shalosh delosses varbo. Amru lelo Yakim. They said to Yakim, Kasav Yirmiyahu who sefer kinnis. Yirmiyahu wrote sefer eicha, a sefer of elegies. Amar lehu, so Yoyakim said to them, Maxiv be, what's written there? So at first they told him the first pasuk, Eicha Yashar Medot, how Yerushalayim sits alone, desolate. Amar lehu, Ano Malka, that doesn't disturb me, because I'm a melech, as Rashi says, well, Malka like Siv Klum, it doesn't say anything about the king, I'm going to survive, even if the Yerushalayim is destroyed, but I, the king, will survive. They told him in the second pasuk, they're going to cry at night. Again, the same narcissistic response. Ano malka. Golsu Yehuda Ma'ini. Yehuda was sent into exile from their suffering. And he answered again, Ano malka. I'm a king. It's not going to happen to me. Then they said, Dark, it's in Avelois. The ways of Tzion are in a state of mourning. I know Malka, it's not going to happen to me. Then they said, Hayut Sorel L'Roish, that the enemies are going to take over and they're going to become the head. You're going to be deposed. Amar Lahu, he said to them, Man Amra, who said such a thing? And they answered, Ki Hashem Hoga Al-Roi Pesha, Hashem is speaking because of the many Pshaim of Kal Yisrael. Hashem is saying this, Miyad Kader Kol Askar Shabo. He cut out all the mentions of Hashem's name in the Megillah Seicha, the Sarfa Beish, and he burnt them in fire. And on that the Navi said that Klal Yisrael did a terrible thing at that time. They were not afraid when they saw that Hashem's name had been cut out of Megillah Seicha and thrown into the fire. And they did not rend their clothing, they didn't tear their clothing. So we see when a person has even Megillas Eicha and Kal V'chaimer Sefer Torah, that is Hashem's name, if it's burnt, that there is a Chi of Kriya. The Rush asks, but how do we know that it's Eina Misachin? That the Gemara doesn't bring a pasuk for, and the Rush says it's a Kal V'chaimer. Madach, we learned on a Rebbe, Shalom Dei Torah, who learned from a Sefer Torah, that when he passes away, we do Kriya, that Kriya is never mended 100%. So Kal V'chaimer on the Sefer Torah from which the Rebbe received his Chachma, that if one is there, Bishas, the Sreif of a Sefer Torah, that certainly the Kriya that is made there is never fixed up. And this is comparable to the Gemara Kedushin, which says that if one stands up, has a Chiv to stand up in front of Talmidei Chachamim who learned the Torah, Kal V'chaimer, a person has a Chiv to stand up in front of the Sefer Torah itself. How do we know that over there was a Chiv Kriya because the Megillah with Hashem's name was burnt? because of a Sefer Torah that was burned. Maybe the Chiyuv Kriya was because of all the bad things that the Navi speaks about in Megillas Eicha. When you hear bad news, they didn't happen yet. Shmuas Roz is when something bad happens and you hear about it, there's a Chiyuv Kriya. Here it was a Nevuah on the future. On that, there is no Chiyuv Kriya. And if the Navi says they should have done Kriya, it must be because of the Askoras of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that were burnt. And it's because of Sefer Torah and Nisraf. Amrav Chalbi, Amrav Funa, Arayah, Sefer Torah Shanikra. If somebody sees a Sefer Torah that's torn, Chayav L'Koreya Shtei Kriyas, he has to tear two Kriyas. Echad Al Gvil, one on the parchment that was torn, Echad Al Ksavim, one on the lettering that's on the parchment, Shanemar. Because it says over there concerning the Haskaris of Megillas Eicha that were burned, Achrei Suroif, HaMelech Es HaMegillah Ves HaDvorim. After the king burnt the Megillah, those are the Gvilim, as Rashi says, and the words that were on them. So we see that by Sreifa Sefer Torah, there's two things that you have to do Kriya on. One is in the burning of the Gvil, one is in the burning of the Oisius. So Hu Adin, if you're there, not at a burning of a Sefer Torah, but when a Sefer Torah gets ripped, you also have to do two Kriyas, one for the Gvil and one for the Oisius HaTorah. The Gemara relates the following story. Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Hanabarchi, Abba Yasfe, they were sitting together. And we have the Girsa according to the Marav Runchberg and according to the Masaris Hashas in Ois Hey, not Kameh the Rabbi Abba, but Kom Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba got up, boy left New Year, he had to go to the Beis Hakisei. Shakli L'toy Tefte, he was wearing tefillin, took the tefillin. Achsei, put it down a Beis Sadi on a cushion. Asoi, Basne, Imta, an ostrich came, Bola Mivli, she wanted to swallow the tefillin, but she was sent away and they did not allow this to happen. When Rabbi Abba heard about this armor, he said, Hashta, had this in fact happened, that the ostrich would have swallowed the tefillin, Ichayv and Leishtin Kriyas, I would be Mechuy of two Kriyas. Amalei, so Rav Huna Bar Chiya said to Rabbi Abba, Minolacha, how do you know this? V'abididiyave Uvda, a similar story happened to me. V'asor l'kamid Rav Masna, I came to Rav Masna, and I asked him, what should I do? V'loyave biyadei. And he didn't have the answer. I saw the coming to Rabbi Yudah. I went to Rabbi Yudah, Vamali, and he told me, Hachi Amr Shmuel, this is what Shmuel said. Ligabi this halacha, loy Amr, when is there a chiv of Kriya on a Sefer Torah that is burnt or that is torn? That's only ala bezroya, that's only when it's done by force, ukamai shoya. And like the story with the Melch Yoyakim, who did it by force, but here, where it was through negligence that he left the tefillin unprotected, and a ne'imta, the ostrich was going to come and swallow it, that would not be a cause. Even had the ostrich swallowed it, it would not have been a chi of kriya. Or Yehuda ben Nahal, the Gemara continues, how do I know there's a chi of kriya for Or Yehuda the Chsid? There were people who came following the Churban Beis HaMikdash. They were bringing korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, and they did not know that the Beis HaMikdash had been destroyed. They came from Shechem and from Shiloh and from Shomron. How many? Shmoinimish, 80 people. Megul Chizokan, once they heard that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, they cut their beards. They kriyei begadim, they tore their clothing. Misguided them, they cut their flesh. Umincha levoina biyadim, they had in their hands a mincha and frankincense levoina in their hands, lahavi beis shem, to bring to the Beis Shem. So we see that they did kriya on hearing about the destruction of the Ari Yehuda. Amrab Chalbai, Amr Ulabi Ra, that's his name, Amrab Lazar. Haroy Ari Yehuda b'chabanan, if somebody sees the cities of Yehuda as they're destroyed, Amr, he says, Ari Kachcha, you midbar v'kareya, your holy cities became a desert, and then he tears Kriya. Yerushalayim b'chabanan, if he sees Yerushalayim destroyed, Amr, he says, Tziyan midbar haisa, Tziyan became a desert, Yerushalayim shmama, Yerushalayim is desolate, v'kareya is kareya. Based on Migdash b'chabanan, he sees the destroyed based on Migdash Aymer. Base Kachcha, our holy house, was v'artenu, and our splendor and glory, Asher Luchavisen, which our forefathers praised you, Hoyelus Reifus Aish was burnt, Vichomachmateno, and everything that we desired, Hoyelucharavo, is destroyed, Vichorea, and then is Korea. And we had before the following halacha, Korea al Migdash and Vice Rishlaim. He tears for the base of Migdash, and he makes the whole, the Kriya, bigger for Yerushalayim. Minu, I'll ask you a question. Echad Shemea, whether you hear about the Churban, or Vachorea, or you see the Churban, Kimchi Yilat Saif, once you come to Hart Saifim, to Mount Scopus, and you're able to see the Churban Korea, you are Korea, the Korea al Migdish from the Atzmah, Roshlam from the Atzmah. He makes two cuts, one for the base of Migdish, one for Roshlam. So how do we say before that you make a Kriya on the Migdish and your Moisa for Roshlam? Here we see that you have to make two cuts, one for the Migdish and one for Roshlam. The Gemara answers like Hashir. This is not difficult. Had a Pogdish B'migdish B'reisha. As Rashi explains, if a person was brought in a box, and when he was let out of the box, he saw the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, and he had not yet, while he was in the covered box, he had not seen Yerushalayim. So the first thing that he saw in Churban was the Beis HaMikdash. So where, then he cuts to the Beis HaMikdash. If he later sees Yerushalayim, then he enlarges the cut from the Beis HaMikdash, because the Iker Churban is over the Beis HaMikdash. So he can't make an Iker Churban on Yerushalayim once he has seen the Iker Churban on the Beis HaMikdash. So all he does is a token enlargement of what he has done already for the Beis HaMikdash. But Hadapag of Yerushalayim Reisha, but where he first sees Yerushalayim, and then he goes on to see the Beis HaMikdash, which is even a greater Churban. So then he has to make two. He can't enlarge Yerushalayim, because that's not proper a way to be misabel on the Migdash, which is a greater Churban than Yerushalayim. So he makes one on Yerushalayim, and then he makes a second one on the Beis HaMikdash. But where he has already done the Iker Avelis on the Beis HaMikdash, and then he sees Yerushalayim, he only makes a token enlargement on the cut that he has made for the Beis HaMikdash. Tana Rabban, we have learned, V'kulam Rishon L'Sharlot. All of the above, where we said that you're not allowed to do a perfect mend, you're allowed to do an imperfect mend. You're allowed for Ovid, for Emoy, all the cases that we learned above, L'Sharlon, to base them with broad stitches. U'Lamoylon, to fold them over and stitch them. U'Lalaytum, to gather the garment together and stitch it. V'Lasoyskim and Sulamis, to make wide stitches like a ladder. Because all of these different type of stitches are not perfect stitches. They're very unprofessional. Somebody can't mend them straight. As we turn to the Chav Vav Amud Beis, what does it mean, a perfect stitch? Like the mending, the Alexandrian mending, which we have a Machlokes Rishonim, whether that means that it was a perfect seam from the outside, although there were shreddings, there were threads from the inside, or some Rishonim learned that it was woven together that you couldn't tell the cut both from the inside and from the outside. We're machmer in both ways, that a perfect mend, the weaving would be usser, and even if it's only a weaving from the outside and you could see threads from the inside, that is also usser in all of these cases. That's considered a perfect mending. Tana Rabbana, Karei Mitach HaShlal. What happens if a person had one kriya, and then he basted it, or mitoch hamel, he folded it, mitoch haleket, he gathered it together, mitoch hasulamis, he made those wide stitches like a ladder, and then a new avelis came, and he made a kriya in the old avelis, which he had patched up, lo yotza, he's not yotza. Why? Because the one that he had done originally was never fixed perfectly. So that's still considered that it is cut. So he's doing a cut in an existing cut, Mameli's lo yotza. But what happens if he had sewed it up perfectly, mitoicha ichui, and then he made a kriya? That is a bona fide kriya, and then yotza, he is yotza. Amrav chizdo b'yichi alexandri. When is it considered a perfect kriya? When is it considered a perfect mending? So that the subsequent kriya is considered a good kriya, if he has mended it up with an ichui alexandri, as we explained before. Tana Rabbanan, we have learned, rishoy lohayf kalamato lachoysoy, that if a person did kriya, he's allowed to turn his beged upside down, according to the Tana Kama, and make a perfect seam at the bottom, and make a hole for his neck on top, and in that, if he inverts the beged, that where he made the kriya now is at the bottom, then he's allowed to perfectly sew it up from the bottom. Rav Shimon ben Elazar disagrees. Oysel achoysa, he says you may not turn it upside down and mend it perfectly. Ukeshem shamaych oysel achoysa, just like the seller, the one who the avelis happened to, is usher to mend it perfectly. Now he's going to sell it to somebody else. Kach alakeach usher lachayis alakeach is also usher to mend it perfectly. Ulefikach meicher tzarech leidil lakeach. That's what a meicher has to relate to lakeach, that this beged has a cut in it from a velus, and it's not allowed to be sewn up perfectly. Tosfos has a shaila, loy shamati imutu l'meicher l'nochri. Ein echanami, says Taisus, you have to be my diya deloikeach, but that's only if it's a Jew, because the Jew has to know that it's an isser for him to mend it up perfectly as well. However, for a goy l'chayra, that he's not commanded anything, and therefore l'chayra would be mutter to sell it to a goy. However, l'aloch l'maisa, we pass, we're machmer in all dinim, A, that you're also to sell it even to a goy, secondly, that you're not allowed to turn it upside down and mend it perfectly. We paskin like Rab Shimon ben Elazar. Tana Rabbanan, we have learned techilas kriya tefach. If a person had an avelus and then another avelus, and he wants to use the same beged to make a second cut, so the first cut has to be a tefach. And when he's adding on the for the second avelus, then he has to add on three fingers. The width of three fingers. Divrei Rab Meir, Rab Yehuda disagrees. Tchilas kriya shalosh etzbois. Rab Yehuda Omer that the beginning of the kriya is three etzbois. V'toseves, how much does he add for the next kriya? Calls you a slight amount. Toses in the third Toses Divrei Rab Maskel Tchilas says lo yadana. How do I know this thing that the tchilas kriya could be shalosh etzbois? Bishloime, according to the Tanakhama, where we say that the beginning of the Kriya is a Tefach, that's good. Because since we learned the holding of Kriya from Vayechazak, we learned by David, by Elisha, they grabbed a hold. And Toysa says, Einach, he's a Pachas mitavach. What does it mean to grab a hold of a Beged, at least a Tefach? So that's a Makar for the Tanakhama, Rab Meir. But where's Rab Yehuda's Makar that the Tchila could be even as small as Shalashat's voice? Omar Ulam, Toysa remains with Akasha. Ula says, halachic Rab Meir b'kriya, that long as like Rab Meir b'kriya, that initially it has to be a tefach, halachic Rab Yehuda b'toisefes, that the toisefes for a second avelus only needs to be a kolshu. Tanya Namiach, we learned like this also in a brisa, Rab Yisiyar b'tchilis kriya tefach b'toisefes kolshu, and Toisus says that the Gemara tells in Eruv and Daf Membav of Mebeis, that when Rab Yisi has a machloik is with Rab Meir or Rab Yehuda, that long as always like Rab Yisi, and Rab Yisi is being a machriya here, adds Toisus, and therefore, in fact, Allah is like Rabbi Yaisi. The tchila of a kriya always has to be a tefach, and the additional could even be a kolshu. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in a brice, Amrulay Mesa Aviv, they told him that his father had died, Mikara, and he tore kriya. And then they told him later that Mesa Benoi Vahoysev, and he added on to the initial kriya of his father, Tachta Mesach. So the one at the bottom, which is done for his son, that could be mended perfectly, because only for his father and mother you can't mend perfectly. Elyon, the part that he did for his father, Ena Mesach, you cannot mend perfectly. Mace Benoi, they told him his son died Vikara, and he tore kriya. And then they told him, Mace, oh, your father died Vahoysev, and he added. So then it's the opposite. Elyon Mesach, the top which was done for the son could be mended perfectly. Tachta, the part that was done for, the bottom part done for his father, Ena Mesach, cannot be mended perfectly. What happens if they told him Mace Aviv, Mace Imoy, Mace Achav, Mace Achaisai? They told him, unfortunately, that all of his relatives died at the same time. So the Tanakhama says, Karea Karech Lekulon, that he's allowed to make one Kriya for all of them. However, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir disagrees, and he says, Oimer, Al Kulon Karechad, on all the regular relatives, he makes one Kriya, on his sister and his brother. But Al Aviv Al Imoy Karechad, he has to make a separate Kriya for his father and mother. There is a Machlokes Rishonim. Did Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir mean to say that he has to make one for each of his parents? It'll come out, he'll need a total of three. If his brother and sister died, that's one. His father is two. His mother is three. Or is the pshat that for his brother and sister he would do one, and for his mother and father together he would only do one. He would do a total of two. That is a Machlokes Rishonim. Now, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir says words which need explanation. You don't add to the cut of a father, the kriya of a father and mother. My time, what's the reason? Because you can't add them. So Taisus and Divrei Maskil, Amar of Nachman says, Tema, my moisel lefarish hatam and abraisa. What is he adding? What is this additional word, Lefi She'ena B'Toysefes? What is that helping me to understand what he said before, Lefi She'en Moisifim Al-Kara Aviv Imoy? So the Rivet here has a very nice pshat, and he says that what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir is trying to explain is, why in fact must you have a separate cut for the father and mother? L'chayra, we would have two Eitzes. So the first Eitze that Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir is trying to negate is, why don't you make one for your father and mother, since they both happen at the same time, and then enlarge it for the other relatives? Why do you have to make two? You make one for the father and mother, make it bigger for the brother and the sister. So on that, the Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seira answers, "Lefi shein meisifin al kriya avi moy," because since the halacha is that the kriya that one makes over his father and mother is much more profound than the kriya made over other relatives. The father and mother is made on all begotim, and even if somebody changes begotim, he has to make it on the new begotim, and it goes down till his heart is exposed, and it's very large all over his heart. So if somebody would make for his father and mother and then want to add for his brother and sister, it wouldn't be nickered that he's doing it for the other relatives, because it would look like he's just expanding on what he did for his father and mother. So that's what he meant, Lefishe Maisifin. My time, what's the reason? Now the Ravid explains that Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seira is trying to say the opposite. Why don't you start with the brother and sister and then add on for the father and mother? No, you can't do that. Just like we learned before, that if a person makes a kriya on Yerushalayim and then he sees the base of Mikdash, he has to make a separate one on the base of Mikdash. He can't add on this new great source, the ultimate source of Avelis, which is seeing the Churban base of Mikdash. He can't just, that's not an add-on. You can't add it on to Yerushalayim. It needs its own kriya, just the opposite. If you saw Beis HaMikdash first, then you can add on to the secondary Yerushalayim. But you can't do it in the reverse. You can't add on from Beis HaMikdash onto Yerushalayim. The same thing over here. If you're going to make a kriya for brother and sister, you can't add on father and mother. They require their own kriya. So both ways that you do it, you can't add on. You can't start with father and mother and add on brother and sister, because it wouldn't be recognizable. People would think you're just enlarging your father and mother, which is always bigger than what's done for other relatives. And the opposite you can't do either, because a father and mother is never an addition. A father and mother is an ikar, and you have to make a separate kriya. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seira says that you always have to make two kriyas, one for the other relatives and one for father and mother. Amar Shmuel, says Shmuel, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seira, Halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seira, that you have to make a separate kriya for the father and mother. Umi Amar Shmuel Haki, did Shmuel say this? For Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Halacha k'divrei ha'mekel b'avel, we're always mekel by an avel, and this l'chayra is a din of avelus. The Gemara answers, no, this is a din of kriya. Avelus l'chud, kriya l'chud. Avelus, you're talking mekel, but by kriya, you're not mekel. One pshat could be, avelus is the rabbanon, you're mekel, and kriya is the raisa, you're not mekel. However, other Rishonim say, no, kriya is also the rabbanon. If so, what's the difference of avelus or kriya? Because avelus is more to express the tsar of the chai, the one who survives. On that, we're mekel. But kriya, which is done to show a kavod to the nifter, this is more of an expression and showing the grief of the one who passed away over the one who passed away. So there we're more machmir, and that's why the halacha like Rabbi Yehuda Ben Seira, that you have to make a separate kriya for the father and mother. Ad heichen kareya, until where? How far down in the beged does a person have to be kareya? Ad taburi, until the navel. The yeshar madli, and some say until the heart. And afal pishen ra'al dover, even though we don't have a clear proof, zeichel dover, there's a hint to the shenemar. The pasuk says, in yoyel, v'kiru levavchem v'al begdeichem, tear your hearts and not your clothing. So we see that kri is associated with the heart. Higil teburoi, what happens if you reach down to his navel? And now there comes another avelis, marchik shloisha, its voice, v'kareya. So he can't anymore lengthen the one that's already up to its navel. He makes a space of a width of three fingers, and then he makes a new kriya from the top of his beged down. What happens, says the Gemara in the Smala Milfonov, if all over the front of his garment, it's unfortunately due to many avelis, it's full of kriyas. Every three fingers in the width, he has another kriya, Masir Lachayrav. He can turn the beged to the reverse, and now the back of his beged is in the front, and then he can make new kriyas. Nismala Malmalo. What happens if he filled up the top of the beged, both from the front and the back? Haifchay Malmati can turn the beged upside down, and he can do kriya now on what was underneath the navel. V'hakareya momata, if somebody tears under the navel, u'minat stadim, or he does it on top of the navel, but he does it to the side of the beged, and not in the front of the beged, lo yotzi, is not yotzi. Ella, the only exception to this rule is kohen gadol. She kohen gadol pyre momata, because a kohen gadol be'etzim is not allowed to do prima. He's not allowed to tear his clothing. So he only tears it, as the Mephorshim say, to express agmas nefesh, not for the real halach of kriya, and therefore, where does he do it? To keep the din of not doing prima, memela, he does it at the bottom of his beg. Pligi bo remasim arukva, there's a machlag shpim ramasna marukva, tarvai mishmei davu shmuel, and they're both arguing according to avu adi shmuel, and Levi, chad omer, one says, kol shiva kareel, acha shiva maisim, that if there's an avelis during Shiva, he's kareya, and then if one avelis comes within Shiva, he's already being misabel on one person, and now comes another avelis, so he makes a separate kriya. But if the second avelis comes after the Shiva of the first one, then he's moisev, he enlarges the kriya of the first one. V'chadomar, and the other one disagrees and says, kol shloshim kareya, all 30 days he does kriya. If there's a new avelis within 30 days from the first avelis, he has to make a separate kriya. Lachar shloishim, if the second avelis takes place after 30 days from the first one, then moisev, then he's allowed to add to the original kriya. Maskel Rav Zeira, asked Rav Zeira, Mandi Omer Kol Shiva Kareya, the one who says that if the avelis happens within Shiva of the first avelis, that you have to make a separate kriya for the second avelis. Amai, what's the reason? Because since I can't mend the first kriya during the Shiva, so therefore I can't add to the first kriya, because that would be considered part and parcel of the first kriya. This kriya belongs to the first mace. That's why I have to do a totally separate kriya. So then I'll ask you a question. That a woman is allowed to mend her clothing right away. If she's allowed to mend it right away, are you telling me, Hachin Nami, that it would come out that if she had a second avelus within Shiva of the first one, that she would be allowed to enlarge the first one because she has a heter to mend it? And we said whenever you have a heter to mend it, you can enlarge it for a second one. Gemara says, no, really it's considered that the first one is not mended. It still belongs to the first one. Hashta mishum kavod issue. There it's an Indian of tznius. We don't want the woman to walk around with the torn clothing, al tznius. But be'etzem, it's not considered mended. We only mend it al tznius. So since it's not considered mended, therefore you cannot use that kriya for an enlargement of the second avelis. You have to make a separate kriya. The Gemara asks, Mandi Omer Kol Shloshim Kareya, that all if there's one avelis within Shloshim, your kareya, a new tear, not Shiva, but he says Shloshim, my, what's the reason? Delay nitin lachayse, because you cannot mend it perfectly during Shloshim. If so, it'll come out by a father and mother, that you can never mend it perfectly. If it's dependent on being able to mend it perfectly or not, Hachinami, are you going to say that for a parent you can never, even after Shloshim, even Torah Yud Beis Chodesh, or forever, you cannot be moisiv on that kriya? Why? Because since it's Asher Lachoysoi, that kriya always belongs to the first mace, and therefore you can't enlarge it, you'll have to make a second kriya. So the Gemara says, no, that's not a kasher. Hasa mishum kavod v'imoy, who really, after 30 days, even for a father mother, it's considered that it is permitted to sew it up, and therefore one could enlarge that kriya, because it's not considered that it belongs to the first mace. And therefore you don't have to make a separate kriya after 30 days. There's a special covet that a child has to have for his father and mother. But as the halachas of kriya, it's really considered, even by a father and mother, after 30 days, to be permitted to be sewn up. And therefore, if one enlarges that place, he is yotze kriya. He doesn't have to make a separate kriya. Tana Rabbanu, we learned, ha yotze beg kru lufnei ha-meis, If somebody wants to fool everybody and he takes out a garment that he had already torn kri on and he wears it now for the new avelis, he is stealing from the mesim, that he's not giving them the proper covet because he's not tearing kriya on a new beged, he's not making a new kriya, he's also fooling, faking, and he's stealing from the living that they think that he did tear kriya when he really didn't. Rav Shimon Gamliel Loimer. Somebody says to his friend, give me your garment. I want to visit my father who's in the hospital. He's very sick. And he found that his father, in fact, had died. He's allowed to tear the beged of his friend. Then he's allowed to sew it up perfectly. When he comes to back to his house, he gives back this garment to his friend. And whatever it depreciated, because it had gone through a rip, even though now it had been mended up, that he has to pay his friend. The Shach wonders why, in fact, he's allowed to do this. The halacha is you're not allowed to tear kriya on someone else's garment. Over here, he was taking the garment of his friend, and we see that he has to give this garment back to his friend. So if it belongs to his friend, how could it be Yitzhak Kri on it? Answers the Shach, that since he had told his friend that his father was very sick, so his friend figured out that it's possible he will die. When he gave him the beged, he was giving it to him on the condition that if the father dies, you could use it for kriya. Ein echanami, I'm not giving you my beged totally. I want to have my beged back. And in fact, you're going to have to pay me any depreciation. But I will allow you to do kriya on this beged. For that, this beged is considered to be yours, and it's not considered to be a strange beged on which one would not be able to make kriya. The im loy idea. What happens if you didn't tell the friend that you're going to visit your sick father? Then, in fact, you have no heter, no rishus to use the beged of your friend, and you're not allowed to do kriya on it at all. A sick person who someone, either a relative or not even a relative, someone he knows that passed away, you should not tell it to him. Don't tell the sick person that his acquaintance died. Maybe he'll get upset, and this will have a negative effect on his health, and he's sick to begin with. And therefore, you're endangering him by telling him this news. You don't come into him having a torn beged of kriya because of that mace. And you tell the women who mourn very loud on a mace that they should be quiet, mipanav, in front of it. This is a separate halacha that although there's no chi of a cotton to make kriya, but we do tear the beged of a cotton so that this will evoke the agnes nefesh, the tsar of the other avelim, when they see how even the cotton's garment is torn. One should tear kriya on one's father-in-law or mother-in-law who passed away. This is covered for his wife that he is participating in the tsar that she has over the loss of her parents. The Amar Rapapa said, Avel Rabasi. We learned in Avel Rabasi that Avel or Yaniach Tinim Toichek, a Avel should not have a child in his lap during the Avelis, because the child will bring him to laughter and Vinimtsim is Ganala Brias, and people will find this disgusting that while he should be crying over his lost relative, he's playing around with this little child. It's not proper. Now the Gemara goes to explain the next part of the Mishnah. We learned at the end of the Mishnah, Ve'imivara Namitis Kufois. And let us learn the Pshat that we mentioned in yesterday's shir from the Ritva and Rashi and Tosfos that it's speaking about during the year, not a Cholamoyed, but during the year. So we learned that during the year, Ein Echanami, the Ovel himself, has to eat the Sudas Havra on a turned upside down table. But the people who come to visit him, they eat the Sudas Havra with him on an upright table. If somebody goes to the base of Avil, if he felt very close with the person who's sitting Shiva, so he should join that person and eat the Sudas Avra on upside down, turned over beds. The Imlav, but if he doesn't feel very close to the Avel, Yavru Amituskuya, so he should, the Avel should eat on turned over bed, but he should eat on a upright bed. Nadigmore says a story. Rava Yisrael Bein Milsa. Rava was sitting Shiva. An incident happened to him and he lost a close relative. Olga Bein Abba Bar Marsa. So Abba Bar Marsa went to Menachem Avalev. The who? He's the same person as Abba Bar Menyumi. Rava Zakev. So Rava turned a table, a bed for him, straight up to eat the Sudas of Roh with him. Abba Bar Marsa Kafi. When Rava did that, so Abba Bar Marsa turned it upside down. He's going to eat the Sudas of Roh with Rava, just like Rava's eating it with a table, which is Kafuya. Upside down, so will he eat it. Omar, so Rava said, Kamales Beit Delight Zerver Abonin. This young Talmud Chacham here, unfortunately, doesn't have Das. In other words, Meforshim explained, I'm not so tight with him. I'm not so close with him. His Liboy is not Gus with me. We're not so close together. And if so, then the halacha dictates that Einachami, I, the Oval Rava, should eat on a Mita Kfuya, but Miss Abel, the one, the Menachem, who's coming to share the Sudas of Roh with him, he should eat on a Mita Zekufa, on an upright one. So what he did here was foolish because we're not so close that he should sit with me on a Mita Kfuya.